This is the Michigan Business Network, and thanks for tuning in. We're so glad you found the Leadership Lowdown, and we're so glad we have an opportunity to talk to someone who's made some history, making some awards, and doing some great things, and I can't wait to pick up my pen and take some notes, because we have on the other end of my line, Luann Wills Merrill. She's the manager of the Greater Chicago FSDO, and we're going to learn all about that. But Luann, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
I'm just so glad to have you with us. And of course, a mutual friend of ours and another Lansing, Michigan individual by the name of Tony Thompson got us together. And of course, you and Tony go back a few years, but we'll hear all about that during our show here. But before I get too far into it, could you tell me all about what the Greater Chicago FSDO is? What is that?
Okay, well, FSDO, we call it FSDO. And that's Flight Standards District Office. We are regulators, but when I break it down to the layman, I tell them we're the policemen of the sky.
Oh, wow.
Our role is to keep everybody safe.
Well, very good. You can't pull anybody over up there, but it's nice to keep them safe. That's good. I love it. Well, and how long have you been in that current role?
I came into this role in 2001. Office manager.
Yes.
But I joined the FAA, Federal Aviation Administration, on December 30th, 1983.
Wow. And you are a person of color, and you kind of broke some barriers, I think, along the way. Not necessarily the aviation sound barriers, but you kind of cleared the path. You were first, right?
Yes, I was the first. And of course, I didn't start out to be the first at anything. I just wanted to fly airplanes.
Right.
somehow I wound up with the Federal Aviation Administration. And when they hired me in 1983, I became the first Black female aviation safety inspector.
Oh, that's so cool. Congratulations. Honestly, it's always great to talk to somebody who's kind of clearing the way and making it easier for people to come behind you. But you know, you're doing so many other things. We're going to hear all about that. But before we get into all of the nitty gritty of that, tell me, your connection to Michigan is what? You grew up in the greater Lansing area, right?
Born and raised there. Learned to fly there. I was even a flight instructor there at Lansing Community College.
Oh, well, how about that? And so growing up in Lansing, you obviously got interested in aviation. What was the early interest in that? For me, aviation started when I was making paper airplanes and being naughty in class. You obviously took it way more serious than I did, right?
Yeah, a little bit. I went to Main Street School. So in elementary school, the fifth grade teacher had an airplane. His name was, it's kind of funny, Mr. Carr, but Mr. Carr had an airplane.
Go figure.
Right. But he would take up all the fifth graders, not just the people in his class, but he took his class first. So I was in the third grade when I found that out, and I couldn't wait to get to the fifth grade.
Oh, wow.
So when I got to the fifth grade, I didn't get Mr. Carr, so I had to wait till he flew all his class, and then it was time for the other fifth grade class to fly. And so I was so excited, and I took the permission slip home, and my mom wouldn't sign.
No way. You were crushed. You had to be broken.
I was devastated, and I lived in one of those houses that you have to be careful who you ask first, because once you go to the other parent,
ooh,
my dad would say, well, what did your mother say?
Whoa, man, I hate it when those parents gang up on the kids. That's not fair.
Oh, yeah. They collaborate, right?
And so the answer was still no. What happened?
The answer was still no. And I guess, I don't know, I must have pitched a fit, or I don't know what happened, but eventually my dad decided to take me on an airplane ride. I don't know how many people in Lansing remember when United Airlines did some type of promotion, and they were just taking people up so they get comfortable in airplanes.
Oh, you mean like not to a destination, they just take you on a quick trip and return to the airport?
A quick trip. Now, looking back, I understand it was a traffic pattern, which is basically a square. They take off, come back, and land. But hey, I was up in the air. I didn't care.
Right.
Yeah. And that's before jet bridges. So we stood out in the hot sun, seemed like forever.
On that tarmac.
Yes. And then eventually we got on the airplane, me and my dad, and, you know, 200 other people maybe. But once we're up in the air, you know, I remember the takeoff, and I remember watching you know, because the people would get smaller and then the cars would get smaller. And I still remember telling my dad, they look like little ants.
Oh, yeah.
And then we came back and landed. But, you know, I just thought that was great.
How old were you, Lynn?
I can't remember.
No.
I'm thinking maybe about somewhere between fifth and sixth grade.
Oh, so your dad made it up to you.
Oh, yeah, I must have really pitched one. Because they didn't wait a year. They got me up in the air.
Well, then, that's awesome.
When I was in the ninth grade, that's when I was on an airplane with my mother and my grandmother. We were going to see my sister graduate from boot camp in Fort Jackson, South Carolina.
How about that?
And on the way down, I remember thinking, wow, I'm in the ninth grade. Sooner or later, mom and dad aren't going to pay for me to get on an airplane. How am I going to afford to fly an airplane? And that's when I said, hey, not only is the pilot flying for free, they're paying the pilot.
Oh, wow. And as they say, a career was born. I think that's so exciting. You know, Luann, I'm so glad you're with us today because I just know this is going to be a fun ride. No matter how high in the air we go, it's going to be a great time right here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. We're here with Luann Wills-Merrill, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Physicians Health Plan is local. For 35 years, we've been a part of your community, and we take pride in helping you get the coverage, care, and personal service you deserve. Go to phpmichigan.com for more information. We're the health plan that works for you.
And we're back right here on the Leadership Lowdown on the Michigan Business Network. I've got Luann Wills-Merrill, and she is the manager of the Greater Chicago FSDO. And I think you call it FSDO, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, fair enough. Well, Luann, look it, we know that baby girls have some kind of sway over their daddies. And so that's pretty good. But you had to have some kind of influence there with your mom. Was she upset with your aviation track, your interest in aviation, or did you win her over?
Well, like I said, in the ninth grade, my mother and grandmother and I were on an airplane when I decided to be a pilot, but I didn't tell anybody. I just kept it to myself. So my mother is one of nine founding mothers of Les Mères et Débutantes of Greater Lansing. Oh. So she founded this organization that takes young ladies or little girls and turns them into young ladies, and you debut in your senior year of high school. And I had to be a member because my mom was a founder, right?
No choice.
No choice. So I'm in the organization, and in the 12th grade, they start you in the 7th grade. So, you know, in 9th grade came and went. I never told anybody what I wanted to do. But in the senior year, they asked us what we wanted to be so they could pair us with a mentor.
Oh.
So you have people saying teachers and nurses and, you know, all kinds of things. And they get to me and I say a pilot.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they're laughing.
No way.
I was known for being a jokester.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm serious. I really want to be a pilot. And they're like, well, where'd you get that idea? So, you know, I told them I wanted to fly for free, right, get vacations for free and all that. So anyway, they had to try to figure out where to find a pilot because they did not know any pilots. Nor did I.
No, yeah.
Right. And I wore glasses. They're like, well, you can't do that. You wear glasses. I'm like, well, I just know that's what I want to do. You can't do that. You're a girl.
Ouch.
No, that's what I want to do.
Stop it.
Right? So why don't you be a flight attendant? No, I want to be a pilot. I never even thought of being a flight attendant for some reason. So they went to the Rotary Club and they actually not only found a pilot, they found a black male pilot.
Awesome.
And he took me out to Capital City Airport and he took me to the control tower and I plugged in and I listened to the air traffic controller sitting next to me to the pilots. And of course, it was like speaking Greek. It's a whole different language.
It is a language,
Right. So I didn't know half of what they were saying. And it's like, okay, well, this is interesting, but it's not what I want to do. So when we left there, I said, well, that's pretty good, but I actually want to be a pilot. I don't want to be a controller. Not that anything's wrong with that. That wasn't what I wanted to do. So he took me over. Who knew? Lansing Community College had a flight school right on the airport. He took me over there. And first of all, I didn't realize you don't start off in the jets. you start off in the little two-place or four-place single-engine propeller-driven airplanes. So it's like, what? Well, if that's where I have to start, so be it. And without my parents knowing it, I signed up for flying lessons.
Wow.
Luckily, they had a wait list. Right, they had a wait list. But 2 days after my high school graduation, I was in private pilot ground school, and my mom and dad were footing the bill.
Oh, wow. And your mom wasn't trying to put you over her knee and paddle it out of you, right? You won her over?
Well, I guess I did, because eventually I took my mom and dad up in an airplane.
Oh, how about that?
My parents put my sister up front, and later I learned my mom was in the back seat praying the rosary the whole time. And then when we landed, my grandparents came out to the airplane, and I'm like, okay, you're next. And you should have seen them shaking their head like, we're not going up.
No thanks, huh? Well, you know, it's got to be, it's really incredible. And let me ask you this, in all of this, you're doing a bunch of firsts and you're frankly in an area where strike one, female, and strike two, we just don't have a lot of African-Americans that are in this genre that are working in this direction. So how hard was that? Were you fighting these stereotypes every inch, or did you find people were going, this is cool, come on board?
Well, like everything, in the beginning, I was my own worst enemy because I just didn't understand. I was the youngest person, you know, 2 days out of high school in ground school. So I didn't know anything about aviation, nothing. And so, and my classmates, you know, they had flown before. I think every last one of them had been in an airplane.
Oh, wow.
But they needed to pass the written test. So that's why they were taking the ground school. So if things came easy to them because it sounded familiar to them, I never heard of these things. So I'm so thankful for the man that took me out and got me signed up, because we had to call him several times to help me with my homework, because nobody in my house could help, and they sure didn't know anybody who could help.
Yeah.
So they called him a couple of times to help me.
Again, this is an ignorant question on my part, but Luann, is it heavy mathematics that you've got to be good at?
Well, we have something called an E6B flight computer. I don't even know if the younger generation coming up knows what that is.
Yeah.
Because now there's, you know, it's kind of done electronically, like more like with a calculator. And there's so much that's automated now.
Oh, sure.
But, you know, when you think about the E6B, it's like this round slide ruler. I had never used a slide ruler, so I didn't understand what it was, but it seemed to work every time.
Thank goodness.
So the math, yeah, so the math can be reduced to that. And there's all kind of charts you use to figure out how much fuel you use. Of course, you still got to use that E6B flight computer.
Yeah.
But, you know, then there's charts with your distance and your wind and how much runway you need for takeoff. And, I mean, there's a lot that you have to learn. And you have to understand the weather.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
What you're dealing with, right?
Well, Luann, I'm really glad
about how the plane works.
I'm really glad you figured it out, because I'm really enjoying our conversation here on the Leadership Lowdown. So glad you're with us. We'll be right back after these messages here on the Michigan Business Network.
The Michigan Works Association believes the key to advancing prosperity across the state is accomplished through building a skilled workforce. As the state's primary workforce development association, their focus is to continue to move the needle on policy, education, and collaboration. They're creating an opportunity and building stronger communities by advocating and innovating together.
And we're back right here on the Leadership Lowdown on the Michigan Business Network. I've got Luann Willis-Merrill with us. She's the manager of the Greater Chicago FISDO. And I can tell you that part of what we have going on here is a young lady with dreams. And she decided to put a little air underneath her wings. And she took off and did pretty darn good. And so as we talk about the next step in her amazing journey, she then, I think you said you got your pilot's license out of Lansing Community College. What was next?
Well, I did call it 2.5 years at Lansing Community College. I had my associate degree, but I was still working on. I had my commercial pilot, my instrument rating, and I also got my flight instructor certificates from Lansing Community College. But I'm from a family of educators. I had to get a four-year degree, and that was a two-year school. So I went to Ferris State. It was Ferris State College back when I went, but Ferris State University, sure, in Big Rapids, Michigan. And here comes my mentor again. He told me that Ferris State had something called a 2+2 program. If you had a two-year degree in vocational education, all you had to do was two more years working towards teaching that subject.
Woo-hoo.
And it's like, this is perfect. I'm from a family of educators. I'll finally make my family proud.
finally, yeah.
Education degree, right?
How fun.
And so I went to Paris for my junior year, and you know what? I was not in the aviation program, but I was learning about teaching aviation, how to design a flight school, how to write a curriculum, how to design tests. I even had to take an audio visual class and learn how to thread a movie projector.
Oh, go figure.
And they made me, I had to walk. I didn't have a car in Big Rapids, but they made me do student teaching, and they decided to send me to an elementary school to teach science. And wow. So I had to do student teaching in a Big Rapids elementary school. I had to walk there, walk back to the campus. But the one thing I didn't do was fly an airplane, and I missed it. So one day I called up the airport at Big Rapids and told them, I want to come fly an airplane. So, you know, insurance, I can't just get in the airplane because these people don't know me from anybody.
Right. Yeah. Who's this girl?
Right, but they let me run an airplane, which I don't even know how I got the money.
Yeah, it can't be. No, it's not cheap.
But I had enough money to get an hour up in the air, and I went up with one of their instructors, and he figured out I knew what I was doing because I was a licensed flight instructor.
Yeah.
And, you know, just took it out and worked that out of my system because I just missed flying. So that year I got one flight in, but then I was able to come back home, live at the house, so free room and free board, and I taught at Lansing Community College as a flight instructor, and I got credit for it.
Oh.
So I spent 1 year on a college campus and walked away with a four-year degree, and I had even gotten a scholarship.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Right. Hours in the logbook. I wasn't paying anything for school. Free room, free board. I mean, there must be a God.
Yeah, yeah.
It worked out really well.
Well, and as they say, you got the wind beneath your wings on that for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Lansing Community College kept me, and I was one of their flight instructors.
Well, and then there was a big moment when you went to the FAA. Is that kind of the next thing that happened here?
That is the next thing that happened. It cut my flight instructing career short because I applied to the FAA, and somehow I got in. Some people tried for years to get in, but the people in the Great Lakes region, which was centered out of Chicago, because I was in Michigan, but they decided to take a chance on a few young people, and I think there were about five of us that they took in as inspectors, and I was one of them, being the first Black female that they ever hired. So all the way around, it was an experiment for them because I was young, and they had something called an outstanding scholar program. So fortunately, I was an A student, so I qualified to get in with that. And there I was on my way.
Well, right about now, your parents have got to be feeling pretty proud of you. Because you said the first time you ever made them proud a minute ago, but now it feels like, hey, folks, I'm kind of arriving here and making some history. So they had to be at least saluting you a little bit at this point in time, right?
I don't know about all that.
Come on.
I was still in my dad's pocketbook when I first left. You know, Chicago's kind of a high rent district. I couldn't afford it. My dad was giving me a $100 a month allowance.
Well, that's
every
why
day,
we as parents always talk about getting the kids off the payroll. So you were still on the dad's payroll, right?
I was still on the payroll. I ate peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch every single day.
Yum.
I had corn flakes and milk for breakfast every single day. And then I found out that I could get this little package of cold cuts and underground beef, and I knew how to stretch that out to last a week.
Ah, woohoo!
Oh, thankfully I got a raise after the first year, and then I was on my own.
And on your own and on the way. Well, we're glad you found your way over here to the Leadership Lowdown on the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versaro, having the time of my life with Luann Wills-Merrill, and I'm so glad she's here. I'm so glad you're here. We'll be right back after these messages.
The attorneys of Foster Swift, Collins & Smith offer legal counsel to businesses, families, individuals, and municipalities throughout Michigan, with offices in Lansing, Farmington Hills, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Marquette, and Holland. Clients know they can count on Foster Swift for all their legal needs, from straightforward wills to sophisticated business transactions and complex litigation. Learn more about Foster Swift and how they can assist you at fosterswift.com.
And we're back here on the Michigan Business Network with Luann Wills-Merrill. She is the manager of the Greater Chicago FISDO. And I have to tell you, Luann, I'm just having so much fun hearing your story, and I'm glad you're unpacking this for us. But we've got you now into kind of a big person's career, and you're kind of on your way, and things are going well. And one of the things that I think is interesting in your storied career, you have been giving back and doing a lot of other things. So I don't know how you find time for all that, but tell me about some of the volunteer work in areas that have inspired you to give back and to kind of inspire other people along the way. Tell me that story.
Well, I think what happened was I developed a love of aviation sort of by accident, but there's so many people who never even think about it. You know, they don't have a Mr. Carr with an airplane at their school that even makes you think about, hey, we have to learn to fly. Right. So I found out that the FAA has ACE camps where they expose youth to aviation. And most people think about aviation in terms of pilots, but there's pilots, there's mechanics, there's air traffic controllers, there's aviation medicine, there's the whole military sector, there's aviation law. But so there's so many different directions you can go in aviation. And so I found out about ACE camps, and I started volunteering my time to help with ACE camps. A lot of times the youth do get a chance to get in an airplane. Myself, I usually just go down and talk about what it's like, how I became a pilot and different types of options, because it is very expensive. And, you know, I'm fortunate mom and dad were my financiers.
Yeah,
they
sure
took care of my bills. Everybody can't do that. So, you know, we talk about the different options, you know, military options and different organizations, such as the Organization of Black Aerospace Professionals and Women in Aviation, you know, different groups that have scholarships available. Talk to people about the Civil Air Patrol, the Boy Scout Explorer groups. So it's just so much fun to go out and just introduce youth to aviation, because I tell them to look at me. Hey, do I look like a pilot? You can't say what a pilot looks like. Anybody can learn to fly airplanes.
Preach it. There you go.
I've taught people with grandkids learning to fly airplanes. So you can learn when you're young. You can learn when you're old. So working in ACE camps is my initial chance to expose youth to aviation. But then I teamed up with an FAA group called the National Black Coalition of Federal Aviation Employees, NBCFAE. And they go to Nigeria and introduce youth to aviation.
Oh,
so I've been involved with them, and I've gone to Nigeria to different schools around Lagos, and now they have ACE camps in Nigeria. So I've also been stationed at the airport where the kids come to us. So it's interesting going out to different villages. It's a different lifestyle over in Nigeria. And I was able to connect through DNA. I learned that my ancestors are from the Igbo tribe of Nigeria.
Oh.
So I met some e-bulls while I was there. And I tell you what, after I cried my eyes out, because I just never, ever expected to have that experience, then I just felt taller. It's amazing. Like a weight was lifted off my shoulders.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, you know, I want to just stop here just for a second, because as you're sharing your story, what's interesting to me, you're overseas and probably in a nation that certainly doesn't have the wealth of the United States and not the same opportunities necessarily. And I got to believe that in the world, if you can't visualize it, if you can't see it, how can you dream about it? And so for you, as somebody there offering up this opportunity and this vision and this kind of, here's what it looks like, all of a sudden, it feels like you're empowering youth to be able to dream a little bit and to chase that dream. I think that, Luann, is an amazing gift that you're giving to young people. And my goodness, you've got to feel pretty empowered by that. That's got to make you feel taller as well. But then to find out that you have the genealogical connection, that's just almost overwhelming. So how did that connect with you? How did you find that information?
It's so funny. I think sometimes people put out information and they never dream anybody's going to act on it. But through an FAA newsletter, I saw that this group, NBC FAE, were going to Nigeria to do an ACE camp. And they actually gave the person's name to contact. So I called this woman out of the blue. She didn't know me from Adam.
Right?
And I said, I want to come to Nigeria with you guys.
Yeah.
And so after that, I became a regular. I went 5 years in a row.
Oh, wow. Isn't that something? And so because of that connection, that you've been there so often, is that when you started connecting to the genealogical path and kind of picking up that information? Is that why, because you were there so often?
No, actually, I started that over 50 years ago.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's a whole nother story. But we had a land patent. My great-great-grandfather, he had homesteaded, and we had his homestead certificate in the house, Verdell Wills. And I grew up looking at that. And Verdell was originally a slave.
Was there a date on that, Luann?
I think it was 1895 that he got his homestead.
Well, listen, we're going to have to get more detail on that on our next segment, because I can't wait to hear about that and about the amazing history. You know, it's so cool that you're with us today. Can't believe we're going to hear about all the great ways that we're taking flight with you around the world now and even back in time. So I can't wait to hear the rest of the story, Luann. And we're so glad you joined us here on Leadership Lowdown. We'll be right back on the Michigan Business Network.
Managing your office supplies is key to a seamlessly functioning business. With over 90,000 items available for free next day delivery, DBI can solve all your office supplies needs at the very best value. Visit dbis.com.
And we're back right here on the Leadership Lowdown. I'm having so much fun with Luann Wills Merritt. And it's just so exciting for me to understand and hear some more about some of the great experiences she's had. And, you know, the Nigerian experience had to be really rewarding for you, and something that you probably feel pretty good about as you think about giving back to children. And you did it for 5 years. Good grief. That had to be pretty rewarding and pretty powerful to you as an individual.
Well, it's so funny, because as rewarding as it is to give, I ended up receiving, because through a DNA test, I learned that my father's mother's people traced to the Igbo tribe of Nigeria. And so when I was over there doing the ACE camp, they actually gave us Nigerian names. And so they gave me the name of Enetan, which is like someone with a history because of my ancestors' history with Nigeria. But the funny thing is, I didn't realize that was a Yoruba name, but some people said, hey, what are you doing? I thought you were Igbo. So they gave me another name that's very meaningful, an Igbo name of Chioma, which is good God, or that God is good, which he has certainly been for me.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, and so that was pretty rewarding. Was that kind of your big takeaway from there out of Nigeria? You were a little bit of a celebrity there because you'd given back for so many years to that event, right?
Yes. And actually, the day after we buried my father, I went for my fifth trip over to Nigeria. And that time, They actually presented me with an award for my dedication to the youth of Nigeria.
Isn't that cool? That has to have a proud spot on your wall, I would think. Yeah. It might be something that I got to believe a beverage of your choice to sit back and think about how all of the lives you've touched. That's so cool. And the other thing that might be on your wall is that homestead certificate of your family dated 1895. You know, I got to tell you, that's a pretty cool piece of history to have in your house. Is that something that was on display growing up as a child, or how did you come to have it?
So my father was kind of a point man in the family, and he was given several things from his father's side of the family. And there was a bunch of letters from someone we always referred to as the man from England. Through my research, I learned he wasn't actually English. He was Irish, but he lived in England. And through, you know, with a slave woman, they produced my great-grandmother. And we have all the letters. Later in life, he didn't have any other kids, which I learned through my research. And he found his daughter in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and wrote letters to her. And they had this relationship, even though she hadn't seen him since she was 7 years old. But they just bonded overseas all through, I think it was World War I. They were writing letters back and forth. He named her kids. And then so my father inherited this box of letters between my great-grandmother and her father, the man from England. And in that box was her husband's father's land patent certificate. So it was all in a box, but every now and then I get to look through that box. Oh. And I see that certificate with Grover Cleveland's signature on it. Well, I said it was a signature. I didn't know. Probably a, well, I don't know if they had date stamps and things back then.
I don't know. Great point. Who knows?
Right. 1895. So I was always fascinated by that. And by these letters from the man from England who was actually also my great-great-grandfather.
Well, tell me about, you know, you've done some great research in getting kind of filling in the blanks, if you will. And I don't know, I'm kind of ignorant on the whole genealogical journey because I just haven't done it. And tell me, from your standpoint, was it fulfilling? Was it enriching for you to be able to kind of connect the dots? I mean, how powerful is that for somebody with your kind of history to be able to understand the roots?
Oh my goodness. It's been so rewarding and a journey full of twists and turns. And, you know, I learned of ancestors that were Native American, but when I saw pictures, it's like they looked like they were from India. And sure enough, through court records, I discovered they were from India, arrived in America, didn't look like anybody else. So they joined in with what is now called the Chowanoc Nation. And I was very honored when they welcomed my family back to the Chowanoc Nation, and we became card-carrying members.
Oh, isn't that cool?
So that was rewarding. And then I knew about, on my mother's side, my great-great-grandfather came up through the Underground Railroad is always what I was told, which there's some truth to it, but not the way I thought, because I always asked, well, how did he escape slavery? And my grandmother said, well, the slave master was his father and helped the mother bring her twin boys up to the north through the Underground Railroad. Which didn't make a lot of sense that owner would give away that many slaves, but okay, that's what my grandmother's saying. Well, her sister had such a different story about how she was down by the river gathering water for the plantation with her twin baby boys, and a Yankee gunboat comes by and yells, hey, do you want to be free? And she said, yes, and she picks up her baby twin boys and carries them aboard and sails north to freedom.
Oh my word. As you're telling that, I'm playing the whole thing out in my mind. That is just, I feel like I'm watching a movie. It's amazing. You know, I just think it's so exciting to fill in the blanks and to have somebody like you that has done so much and has such a great history and come so far. Gosh, Luann, we're glad you're with us here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versaro. We'll be right back.
Sonair has been advancing communities and providing opportunities for people in Michigan for more than 25 years. Through lending, investments, and the creation of homes and jobs, Sonair has made a combined $7 billion impact on the communities they serve. Learn more at www.sonair.com.
And we're back in our final segment right here on the Leadership Lowdown. I can't believe our time has flown by here with Luann Wills-Merrill, and I'm just so sad that it's coming to an end, but there's so much to talk about, and there's so many things we can get in here. But, you know, we just were talking about the Underground Railroad, and Luann, one of the things that is, you had two stories there on how the family kind of got out of the slavery. Did you ever find more information on that?
I sure did. During the pandemic, Judge Al Rosenblatt reached out to share with our family how we became free, and we were not runaways. It turns out my ancestors were part of a landmark case called the Lemon Slave Case in 1852. The owner, the enslaver, took his 8 slaves and his 7 children and his wife and boarded a boat in Richmond, Virginia, and took the long way. The ship was leaving out of Virginia, going to New York so he could catch another boat going to Texas, because that's where he wanted to move, and my guess is what cotton instead of tobacco. But overnight, because they missed the ship and they were going to have to wait, so there was a cook who knew that there were slaves in the bottom of the ship, and so he asked, this is the part that's true. Do you want to be free? My great-great-great-grandmother said yes. And based on that, they filed a habeas corpus. And instead of Jonathan Lemon being able to take his slaves and put them on a ship and sail to Texas, he had to go to court to fight because they were being enslaved, held against their will in a free state, the state of New York. And the case was won. And Jonathan Lemon kept saying, I'm going to appeal this if I have to go to the Supreme Court. So in New York is when my great-great-grandfather, Louis Napoleon Wright, his twin brother, Robert Wright, their mother, Miranda Thompson, and 5 other slaves wound up on the Underground Railroad going to Canada so that even if he appealed and won, they'd be free.
Wow.
So that's all in a book called The 8th. And I supplied a picture and I did a promotional blurb. And so I'm starting to document my family history and educate people. I wrote a chapter about my great-great-grandfather, Verdell Wills, and his journey to get 180 acres of land in Choctaw County, Mississippi. So that's in a book called, it's by Bernice Bennett. She put all these chapters together called Black Homesteaders of the South. So I have a chapter in there about Verdell Wills. To educate the public about my ancestors.
I just love it. And Luann, it's just so cool that you have that history. You've inspired me to look back and try to figure out some of these stories. And you think about some of the amazing things that have happened along the way that people had to overcome and to get there and everything else. And then to have somebody like you here in the family down the road that's done so much. And I know you don't want to brag about yourself, but I don't know if I've ever had anybody on this show that has an entire day named after them. So tell me about that. Don't you have a proclamation from the Lansing Mayor Andy Short that you have a special day in your honor?
Yes, April 6, 2024 was named Luann Wills-Merrill Day.
Well, I'm going to have a piece of cake every April 6th from here on out. I think that's awesome. Well, you know, it wasn't only that, but look at, you were named Woman of the Year by Zeta Phi Beta, a sorority that pictured you in terms of doing great things. And the other thing is, again, you don't want to brag about yourself, but you're a barrier breaker. And as a result of that, the Illinois Aviation Hall of Fame has inducted you into the Hall of Fame, right?
Well, since I'm bragging, I literally put my name on the map. There's a Luann intersection on the aviation charts because I was the first Black female inspector.
Ah, hey, I want to give you a verbal hug right now. That's so cool. Well, congratulations on that, you know, and to have all those things. And I guess you've got to have had a moment in your life when you thought, as you're reading about the history of a family that's a slave family, and now you're sitting here, a dynamically successful career, much of which you can attribute
to beautiful parents that were committed to education, helping you to put the air underneath your wings and live your dream. And so you've come so far with so much. Have you ever kind of looked back and pinched yourself a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. This is an incredible time in my life. And there are those who look and they think that it's always smooth sailing in my life, but it's not always smooth. But moments like this just make me pinch myself. I mean, a week ago, I was named Woman of the Year. And then, you know, exactly a week and a day later, I'm bearing a 17-year-old cousin. So I do want to, yes, Robin Cortez Tillman Jr., rest in power, 17 years old. But you know what? I came home and was feeling kind of down. And then it's like I put on my Hall of Fame t-shirt and I'm like, you know what? Overall, life is great. Life goes on. So, yep.
Well, God bless you. You know, look, Luann, you are an inspiration. You are somebody that I hope to personally meet someday. I just think that the ability that you've had to overcome so many different things, for your family to be able to look from where we all started to where you all are today, such an inspiration. And thank you so much for sharing your story today. And thank you for being a part of Leadership Lowdown. You are special, and I can't wait to get in your airspace.
Thank you, Vic. I really appreciate being allowed this opportunity. So thank you for allowing me to share my story.
It's so cool. A day, April 6th, will live forever with us because we're going to celebrate Luann Wills Merritt. And we're so glad she's with us. So glad you are with us today here on the Leadership Lowdown. This is the Michigan Business Network. I'm Vic Versaro. I can't wait to talk to you next time.